Welcome, everyone, to T.S. Wright Speaks. And now, of course, I'm your host, T.S. Wright. And today we're going to continue with our message, and we're going to talk about the church in Laodicea. So now we have talked about the other six churches. We're now going to dive into Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And if you're following along in your Bible, again, just like every other one of these letters to the churches, it's going to start with writing to an angel. And this particular angel is over the church in Laodicea. So without further ado, let's start. Starting with verse 14 in chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. Well, here we get a whole line of declarations of Jesus, what Jesus is. He is the Amen. That means everything is about him. And he gets the final word. And I like it because he is the words of the Amen. These are the words of the Amen. That means it is coming from him. The words are directly coming from him, and he is actually calling himself the Amen. It's the same concept. If we dial it all the way back to the Old Testament, the great I Am, when God is talking to Moses, I am that I am. He calls him I Am. This has the same connotation, Amen. These are the words of the Amen. And it also means he will have the final word. So remember this. And this is the final church. In the representation, it's the final age of the church. All right. So he is speaking this. This is a direct message. And we are living in the final age of the church. We are living in the church of Laodicea. And so we can almost consider these words being spoken directly to us, to this age of the church, the time that we're living in now. We're not going to focus on the ages of the church so much as we are going to focus on the message. So, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. So again, these are the words of the faithful and true witness. That means Jesus is the true witness. He is the witness for God to the world. Everything that the disciples did, everything that we do as disciples of Jesus and his direct apostles, are all a reflection of him, because he is the one that did the teaching. He is the one that died. He's the one that resurrected. He's the one that ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back to live in us. And he is the one whose witness that we follow. We follow his witness. We follow his action. We follow his teaching. And the Holy Spirit empowers us through that, not only through the Word of God, but by living inside us and helping us to carry that out. He directs us. All right. So Jesus is in direct control, and he is the true witness. And because he's the one that is our Savior and our King, we have to acknowledge him as that. We should worship him as that he is the faithful and true witness. And he's also the originator of God's creation. That means he was right there with creation. He is a part of the creation plan, and he is the part of the plan that redeems us, that redeems the part of the creation that fell, which is man. When man fell, he becomes the one that redeems. He's the one that brings it back, and creation is all about him. I think it's important that we get a concept of this. So what we're going to do, if you will turn your Bibles over to Colossians. I want you to turn it over to Colossians. Now, there is a message in here that is to the church of Laodicea. If you go to Colossians chapter 2 and you go to verse 1 through 5, it's actually talking to, Paul is actually writing to Laodicea. It says, for I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me face to face. And he goes through this whole message, all right? However, I want you guys to revert back to chapter one. I think this is very important. And if we will go to verse 15, I really believe this lays it out. This is a good way to think of this. Start with verse 15, chapter 1, Colossians. All right, we're going to Colossians here. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things we may have preeminence. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. I want you to think about that. That is powerful. All right. And if we revert back to what it's saying here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, if we kind of compare and correlate what that is saying, it's the same thing. He is the originator of God's creation. It's all about him, and these words are coming from him. So if it's all about him, and these words are coming from him, then you know what? We better listen. As a matter of fact, when we end, we're going to end with verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have spoken about that before. This is a warning, and it's also an alert. We need to pay attention. So these words are coming from the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the Son of Man, came in the flesh, but he's also God, and it is all about him. God has ordained it to be all about him. All creation is centered around him. And he's the one that brings it back together. And the creation is us. It is also him making the new heaven and new earth. All these pieces are about Jesus. We need to be about Jesus. I think there's a lot of implications here that we need to take in. This is about him. This is also about us making it about him. Remember this, the Word of God, while there are messages for us and understandings, it's about displaying who God is. That's really what the Bible does. And the book of Revelation specifically shows us how Jesus is going to be manifested on earth as king. We already know he's king in the spiritual sense, and he already has that title, but he's going to physically take the reins. Right now, he gives every person a chance to repent. That's why he's not here. All right. That's why he's not physically here yet. But that time will come. And when he is, everything's going to change. So here we go. Remember, these declarations are really about bringing out who he is and about him being manifested as king. Take that in for a minute. I would hope, as you've learned these through all seven of these churches, that this might reshape our thinking and how we should live. We have to make it about Jesus. My time, my focus, my energy needs to be about serving him and him alone. All right. I know your deeds. This is verse 15. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. Let's go to verse 17, because I think this really spells it out. You say I am rich, and this is going to be a great description of this day and age, and I can't sugarcoat it. I can't sugarcoat it. You say I am rich. I have grown wealthy and need nothing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now, from this point forward in this, he's going to start to counsel this church and tell it how to reconnect with him and how that works And it's really about walking through a process of repentance. We'll talk about that in a minute. Matter of fact, our entire discipleship, the foundational principles, is verses 18 through 21. Because this is speaking directly to this day and age. But let's focus again, 15 through 17. You say, I am rich and have grown wealthy and need nothing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That is being deceived. That means he is saying you are deceived. You are seeing yourself in this perception, but the reality is, here's where you're at. He has nothing good to say about this church. Nothing. Let's take that into consideration. He has nothing good to say. That's painful because this is the age of the church that we live in. You know, the first time when I kind of took it in and really embraced that this was being spoken to this age, and I'm living in it, and at even times representing it, I was just like, I mean, it was just like it just took the air out of me as I realized it was very sobering in so many ways and very humbling and just, as I realized this. And think about it, how technology has blinded us to truth. We put our faith so much in this day and age to the things that are right in front of us. It's like every week is something new for us to put our faith in. It's idolatry, and we elevate that beyond God. Think of it like this. This is really what idolatry is, because that's where I'm going with this. And I really believe he is speaking about people taking their wealth, taking what they think. Because think about it. Even people who don't have much are as wealthy or better off than people back, say, 200, 250 years ago who were wealthy. I mean, in many ways, that's just true. Just technology. You can live in a poor house and be almost living better than what royalty did 250 years ago. Because sanitation's better. So many aspects of that are better, especially in Western society. That's not the case in every part of the world. But it certainly is in Western society. I know. Take that in for a minute. And so what it is, I mean, think about it. We can get on YouTube and solve pretty much everything we need to know about how to solve and do something. We don't need other people. And what we've done is we've lost our need for God, and we replaced it with this self-reliant attitude and this independent spirit. And so every time something new comes along, we grasp hold of it like it's the thing that's going to satisfy and change our life and for the better, and we push God to the side. We'll acknowledge him, and we'll have our little God box, but the one that's elevated on the throne is the next new thing that's going to just make our lives better. Take that in for a minute. The question is if you're listening to this, is that what you're doing? Because here's the thing. There will be consequences to that eternally. We don't want to suffer those consequences. And I don't want you to suffer those consequences. That's why I'm telling you this. That's why I'm using this message to tell you the truth so you can look at your life and evaluate it through the filter of the Holy Spirit, not the filter of this culture. That's what you have to do. You've got to remove the filter of culture, take those off your eyes, and put it on. Because I'm going to take it to verse 18 here, and we're going to get to that. All right? So remember that. Verse 18. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, don't leave. All right? Because I'm going to show you how to get reconnected. Because Jesus never leaves us without hope. And he gives us hope here. He says, even in this age, even the way things are, he's basically saying, you can still connect with me and walk with me and have the victory that I want for you. Here it is, 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Now get this. I'm not talking about me as in T.S. Wright. I'm talking about Jesus speaking, and that's who's speaking. We buy from Jesus gold. Gold represents truth. Think about how many truths are out there Again, ways to be fulfilled, ways to make our lives better. That's going to take care of everything. Think about that. And the truth is, there's only one truth that eternally takes care of us. And that is the truth of the words of Jesus Christ. We go right back to verse 14, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. Because the words are coming from the one that everything centers around. It does not center around our technology, our comforts, our conveniences, and some new way that's going to make your life better. Those are going to end up being empty promises and empty fulfillments. Eventually, they're going to run out. There's nothing you can attain in this life. Wealth, prestige, power, anything. Sex, drugs, all these things, alcohol, none of them are going to cure the real issue. And that is, we have a void in our life, and only Jesus and his truth will fulfill it. Let's keep going on, because he goes to the next part. He doesn't just want the gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. You becoming rich means you're growing your faith in that truth. You're taking that truth, you're intertwining it in your spirit and in your mind and in your heart, and it starts coming out as faith. You start believing. That's what that means. That means you start building a faith muscle. Is a good way to think of it. And think about gold. When it's refined by fire, it's getting the impurities burned out of it. So it'll become pure gold and useful. Okay, we don't want something that has like 20% gold and 80% of these other minerals that don't have any value. You want gold. Gold is the value. And in this case, it's the truth. You don't want it mixed in with all these lies. Remember this, the enemy of your soul, the devil, Satan, he loves to tell you a 98% truth, but a 2% lie, and the 2% is what takes you away from God. He makes it seem all aligned and everything's perfect, but that little 2% takes you away from God. That's his goal. He's a great moralist. He is. He knows the moral compass, and he knows how to steer everything to make it God-like, and remove God. He's very good at it. So we want to be careful, because the truth always still comes down to Jesus, and it's still all about Jesus. That's how we conquer his lies. That's how we bury those and push those aside and know the truth. All right. So in this particular part of the verse, it's about knowing the truth and starting to develop a belief, which starts building a faith muscle in you. All right, and we want to develop those faith muscles. Here we go. Next, white garments so that you may become clothed and your shameful nakedness not exposed. That means, again, you're going to buy from him a white garment. That means we are not pure in of ourselves. We have to put on his cloak of purity to cover our sinful self. If you think you're going to come before the Lord, and before you can come before him, you need to get all clean and get everything right and then come to him, that is never going to work. You'll never come to him. You need to come to him as you are and let him put on his purity around you. He will make the change in you. You just need to surrender to him. Remember that. We don't get ourselves right and then go to God. We go to God to get ourselves right. All right, so remember that piece. Next, all right, and this is very important. Think of this, again, buying from Jesus here. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. See, once we have that truth and we start to build those faith muscles, and then we start being purified, all right, and now we got faith and purity working. Now we need to get the eye salve, because then we can get our eyes cleansed by him, by the Holy Spirit, basically, and get our eyes open so we can see the light. And that is really God's righteousness. And when we see his righteousness, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to use a phrase I heard from Billy Graham. And he said, the closer I get to God, the more sinful I realize that I am. And I'm going to tell you, I received Jesus almost 34 years ago. And the closer I get to God, the more sinful I realize I am. What he said is absolutely right. It is absolutely true. And when that happens, verse 19 is going to kick in, and it needs to. Jesus says, those I love, I rebuke and discipline. We need to be rebuked. You know, this process can be about how to connect and receive Jesus, but this process is also the process of repentance that we need to play out. It's like a cycle. And there's times we just got to come before the Lord. I have to do it. And I'm still, like I said, I've received Jesus 34 years ago. I still have to go through this process sometimes. And it's always there for me. And Jesus explains that. But I need to be rebuked by him, by his Spirit. Remember, rebuke and discipline. So what does that look like? The rebuke is you opening yourself up and letting him tell you what you need to correct. And the discipline is him restructuring you so you can make the changes. And then you have to obey. And we have to start to be obedient. And sometimes these things are hard. They're tough. All right? But we have to rid ourselves of these things that are getting in our way. So now we got truth, we got purity or holiness that we're cloaked in by him. We have his truth and our faith muscles being developed. We have his holiness. Number three, now we have the Spirit starting to work inside of us, and we're starting to sense that. And he's opening our eyes so that we can see the truth, so that we can see things. And what it is God wants to show us seeing him in the way that he wants to see it, and then reflecting back ourselves. It's like he's taking that, his mirror, not our mirror, but his mirror, turning it back to us. And now we're looking at it, and now we see the truth because we see ourselves through his mirror. And when we see it his way, then he can start that rebuke part. It's actually a good thing. I mean, remember this, he loves the ones that he rebukes and disciplines. That means he loves you. It's when you can't hear him, when none of this is going on, that's when you're really in trouble. All right. So you're sensing that conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're sensing what needs to be changed, and then you start obeying to make the changes, and he shows you what needs to be changed, and you do it. Discipline is really a restructuring. It's not like taking a belt and correcting. That can be a part of it in the rebuke, but we need to understand what needs to be corrected, and then we need to restructure, and we need to follow him in doing that. He will do that. He will show us the way. All right. It could be anything. If it's, you know, if you're having a problem, drugs and alcohol, maybe getting somebody to help you, hold you accountable, and getting rid of all the stuff that reminds you of that triggers. All right. And changing your life. And then those moments and things of times when you do those things, you need to replace it with something else. Okay. You don't just try to say no. The say no thing doesn't work. You have to replace it with something else. And you replace it with something that's about him. It may be replacing it with God's word. It may be replacing it with connection with people who will lead you in the right direction. And it's probably all of those things. Now, and then it says, therefore, be earnest and repent. Because what happens is, as we start to do that, we start to realize how good it is for us. And then how much we start to really feel that connection with him. And we start to crave it. And when you do, you start to feel a zeal for him, a real passion. And when you're feeling that passion for him and for his word and wanting more and more and more, repentance just naturally happens. Repentance should not be hard. It's getting to the point of repentance is what's tough. But once we get there, we'll have the passion to do it. So think of this little process that you're walking through. And Jesus is trying to speak to this church, and we're living in that age, and he's speaking to us. And this is what he's telling us. And then he says, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Notice he doesn't say that right away. He doesn't say verse 20 up where the beginning, like right before verse 18. You have to go through this process to be able to hear his voice. And once you start to sense what that is and what that's like, now you have fellowship with him. You have fellowship with him. And the more you do it, the more experience you get, the more you're going to desire it. I guarantee you. After 34 years, the thing I desire most is my relationship with him. I desire that more than anything else in my life. I hold everything with an open hand to God. I've learned to do that, and that is not easy. And that took me a long time to truly get there. And then I cling to the cross. I cling to the cross. And then there's a reward for all of this. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Wow. That means I persevere. I stay with it. I continue to walk with him. When I start to get off the path, I repent and get right back. And I stay with him and I let his voice be the primary part of my life. That doesn't mean I don't sin sometimes. We all do. We're not going to be totally perfect in this life. But we call sin, sin. We accept that. And we embrace that we are sinful. And then we also embrace the fact that he forgives us. And we keep clinging to that. We cling to that cross. We hold everything else with open hand. And then, of course, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, to the churches. We got to embrace it as truth, know it's a warning, and we need to heed that warning and make the changes. But the reward at the end is worth all of this. Going through this process, even if it's painful, it is worth the reward, because this is temporary and that's eternal. Remember that. This is temporary and that's eternal. Well, that's all the time we have. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day.